Fake handoff. He'll throw it on second down. Deep down the middle. Wide open man. Akeem Butler. Over the shoulder catch. It's going to be a Cyclone touchdown.
Has a little moxie about him, doesn't it?
He absolutely does. You saw how fired up his sideline was. And they're going to be elated for this. Purdy to the end zone.
Because, yeah, good's good. But what's elite in the elite moment? Don't tell me what you've done. Go back into the critical moments and tell me what you should have done when you had the opportunity to do it. That's what elite is. That's what warriors do. That's what champions do.
Welcome to the Whitecast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new episode of the Wide Right 90 Lightcast, a celebration lightcast, I suppose. Austin Keeney here, joined by Matt Nelson, as always. Normally, we would record the show on Monday nights, but we gave it the one extra day because of Houston coming to town and the giant blizzard, which I'm sure everybody had to tend to. So, I'm glad we waited. Matt, I feel like I just have to bring you in and kind of ask you how the entire day went, because it looked like one heck of a start for anybody who might follow Matt online, and then obviously an incredible finish. I know you were in the arena for Iowa State beating Houston.
Keeney, just an all-time day. I was talking with the neighbors about this through text after the game. Just like I'm going to bookmark 1-9-24 in my memory. So we were up before 7. You know, obviously, as you all listeners know, I live pretty close to Hilton, pretty close to Jack Trice, and kind of a communal snowblowing effort. I mean, one, we got just a ridiculous amount of snow. Keeney, I'm sure you got plenty out of Winter Storm Finn as well. But we had actually pre-planned this the day before. You know what? We're all going to be miserable moving this much snow. Why don't we do breakfast? So there was probably 15-plus people, not including kids, in around the garage at one point. Keeney, bacon, biscuits, breakfast sandwiches, plus pancakes. That was the menu. So had ourselves a terrific morning. I actually had everyone over to my place before the game to grab food. And then what a win, Keeney. I feel physically battered after watching that game in person in Hilton. But, man, huge win against a team that we can get into, Keeney. I have seen all I need to see from Houston. I don't want to see them again. That is a Final Four team. I'm going to call my shot right now.
All right. I like it. By the way, are you sponsored by Blackstone? I have to know.
You know, Keeney, they did reply to that tweet. So I'm, do you smell what the rock is cooking? Am I going to slide into their DMs and see if I can get a Blackstone TBD?
Well, I'm half tempted to. Well, we could talk about this off mic.
Yeah, say Blackstone, not a sponsor. Could be.
If they want to be a sponsor in the sense that they want to give away some free Blackstones to us, you know, I will promote their product like crazy. I promise.
That's right. Shamelessly. We will plug it shamelessly. That's right.
Next winter storm, I'll have a commune at my house if I get a free Blackstone from the corporation themselves. So,
Kenia, I saw a tweet from you online about, I really enjoyed it, about waiting until you hear somebody else fire up the snowblower so you're not the dick who's the first one to do it at 6 in the morning. That's a great thought by you.
Well, the thing is, I obviously I could work from home today. My wife worked from home, but like daycare was open and I'm going to take advantage of that because I don't want to have to try and work as well as watch the kid all day. So, I had to get out, had to clear a path to leave my driveway, but I didn't want to fire up the snowblower at 6:30 in the morning. So, shout out to whoever my neighbor was, I don't know exactly who, at about 7, got their snowblower going. So I was vindicated. I could go ahead and start taking care of my driveway. It was quite a morning, quite a storm. Unbelievable that it happened overnight as well. But as they say, it's cold outside. It was hot inside the basketball arena. We should talk about Iowa State finally having a signature win. Milan Manchilovic having a signature moment.
Oh, man.
how awesome was Hilton when he hit that shot? Because I, you know, just kind of am like standing there holding the kid, and I'm like, it was one of those no, yes shots to me, but I'm sure for him, he's taken that shot 5,000 times in his life, and it was just, it was a perfect one.
Yeah, did you see after the game, Kenny, they said that they practiced that in practice every day, that shot.
I did see that, which is a little surprising because, you know, it's, I mean, let's be honest, and for Milan being as great of an offensive player as he was, he did struggle for a good portion of the game. He really struggled with the ball pressure from the Houston defense. I mean, final stat line, he made a few shots or whatever, but he had been kind of, I don't want to say like a non-factor, but he hadn't done a ton in the second half.
He struggled with the on-ball pressure, no? Like, dribbled it off his foot, had it poked away from him a few times, but that's kind of what I noticed the most, right? It seemed like they kind of disrupted him with their physical play, but he didn't shrink from it.
No, at the same time, he is probably Iowa State's best one-on-one option. And at the end of the Oklahoma game, which we can talk about a little bit as well, he was the guy they were running plays for, and he just didn't hit shots. So I'm really happy for him to have that moment, especially in front of the home crowd, and especially after struggling on Saturday. Pretty awesome.
No, that was unbelievable. That shot, Keeney, we were nervous. Gilbert had a turnover on what seemed like a good chance to kind of extend out another bucket, and then, you know, that bizarre call of the lane violation on Hassan Ward, which you never see on the shooter, makes it should have been a 1-point game, and they're fouling to put you back to the line to shoot two, and instead it's tied. And you take that timeout with 10 seconds from the side. You really don't. I kind of thought, Kenny, they would try to call play to get to the rim or throw it into the paint right away, like they'd done earlier in the game with only 10 seconds left on the shot clock. And, man, they knew the double was coming. That's the shot that they wanted. And Mamchili cashed it. He nailed it. And then two clutch free throws at the end. Lipsy, I mean, Kenny, what a great free throw shooting game by the team. Only four misses. They were all Lipsy's. And they were all early in that game for the most part. He shot well in the second half, but he gives to let Milan shoot those free throws. And the freshman walks up and just nails them.
Shout out to Milan for hitting those two. Shout out to Bob Jones for making 4 out of 4 free throws in the game. Unbelievable.
Dude, big momentum play. So they ended up on the intentional, which I'm not sure I've ever seen a player get fish hooked to the ground, Keeney. That was a first for me. But man, that intentional, he shoots two free throws, makes them both, which obviously you're terrified that he's going to miss them both. Because say you miss them both and you turn it over and don't score, I mean, you got nothing out of essentially two possessions. And they did end up not, I think they turned it over. So had Bob missed both those free throws, you would have really felt horrible, getting two shots in the ball back and coming up empty. So that's why it was huge that he made those two shots. He's just gotten so much better. Yes, he had a couple shots get blocked around the rim, but he finishes well. He moves so well on defense. He's become a really good passer. He just has a really good feel for when to cut and get to the rim, especially when Trey or Hassan has the ball. So impressive game from him. We talked about Milan. We've got to talk about Trey King, no?
Yeah, we do. And Trey King to Bob Jones for the layup. I don't remember exactly what the score was, but that might have been the biggest play of the game. I think that was right after Houston took the lead for a moment. And then on the next possession down, Trey King hits Bob Jones for an open layup to take the lead back. Trey King, he just kind of has a way of like making these like grown man plays. And you kind of forget because he hasn't been at Iowa State for very long, but he is 24 years old. He's played a lot of college basketball in his day. And he was the guy that TJ was like, I really need you to step up tonight because, and we'll talk about Houston in a little bit. That is a physical basketball team. And Trey King is the type of guy who can play that physical game. And he stepped up in a huge way, hit a three, had the big assist. I think he blocked a shot somewhere too. He just did a lot of big time plays when we really,
they're just a bunch of brutes, man. So he finished with, he was a point and a board short of a double-double, Keeney. He was only 3 for 10, kind of struggled to finish, right? They've got some big dudes on that team. But
He also almost took the roof off the place, but and made the two free throws on the dunk attempt where he got fouled.
Oh, he made a three. Such a huge, and that was a humongous shot in that moment that kind of came out of nowhere.
But he was, you know, open, rhythm, and
he was.
That's the thing, you know, he makes those big time plays, and he's not a guy who I feel like has the ball in his hands a ton. You almost kind of forget he's out there until he just makes a huge play in a huge moment.
Correct. And he didn't do a ton in the first half, but boy, he was clutch in the second. Really was.
Should we? All right, let's kind of do this in a couple of different ways. So I think the elephant in the room is that, hey, the offense in the half court didn't look great. But this is also a good opportunity for us to talk about Houston. You said they're a Final Four team. Why are you so sold on them?
So I know people were kind of dogging them for not really playing anybody in the non-conference, kind of like us. But, Kenny, they have kind of everything that I look for. So they have immense size down low, very good shooting. I would say ball handling as well between Sheed and Cryer. The reason I think they're the Final Four team, Kenny, is they're old. A bunch of 29-year-old dudes running around out there. And did you watch the way that they defended on ball in the half court? Kenny, they don't really do anything ridiculous, but their ball skills, right? The way that they swat at it, the way that they block shots, the way that they move, they're always in the right spot. They're always in front of you. They're always in good position. You are not going to get an easy bucket on them unless it's in transition. But they don't turn the ball over. I think we forced, 15 turnovers? And that's the most they've had all season. They're immensely deep. They're very talented. 16 turnovers, Keenan. That's the most that they've had all season. That's going to be a really hard team to beat unless they're calling a gazillion fouls, which sometimes in the tournament they do. I think that's why you've seen Houston around the Final Four so consistently, Keenan.
Yeah, that's just an absolutely nasty basketball team. They're built perfectly for the Big 12, I would say.
They put up 89 on West Virginia at home. So this game was in the 50s, right? They just scored 89 against West Virginia at home in their last game.
Yep.
So they can put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah. They've got it all. Obviously, great defense. Offense has been really effective. They are perfect for this iteration of the Big 12. And, I mean, yeah, I'm willing to just give us a complete pass on how the offense looked playing against these guys. That is a team that is going to win a lot of basketball games. And I know playing at Hilton Coliseum is not the same thing as, you know, playing at Tulsa or East Carolina, whoever else was in that conference. But they weathered the storm. It was 14-0 at the start of the game. Iowa State looked like they were just going to blow Houston out. And then they're like a snake. You just got to cut the head off of them or else they're just going to stick around and they're going to choke you to death. So it actually reminded me a lot of like the way they go after the ball, kind of like those West Virginia teams, that like the press mm-hmm. Virginia teams. Once they get settled into the half court, they just foul the hell out of you and hope that the refs aren't in a mood to call a ton of them. But they do it in a way that's like, it's not super obvious. They're not hacking away. They're just putting pressure on you at all times.
They're subtle about it. And again, they move their feet, so they're always in front of you. Again, I think it's, whether it's a foul or not, if you're out of position, it's pretty easy for them to call a foul, but they're rarely out of position. So anyway, they're a monster. I don't want to see them again. I know on Twitter, I see a lot of KU fans. Other people said, oh, welcome to the Big 12, but it's not going to be that easy. They must not have watched this game because this team is incredibly legit. And I think this is just going to be in the Big 12 this year, Kenny. Like that road game we didn't win at Oklahoma won. I know we can touch on that briefly since we haven't podcasted since. Oklahoma is a good team. They have way more size than I thought. They were way more physical than I expected to see from them. Do I think they're a top 10 team? Maybe not, but they're going to win some basketball games. We'll find out soon enough. They go to Kansas on Saturday. But I thought in that game, one Keeney, so they played a week off, one game against Slappy, whoever it was we finished the season with, which they only won by 15. They didn't cover. And then another week off. And then you're on the road at a top 15 team that's much improved. And they made open shots. They never panicked. They didn't turn the ball over. And that's how you beat us. So is that going to happen every night? No, I actually thought Oklahoma played an incredible game. They basically did everything right in that one. And Iowa State still had a chance to win it. So again, you were ahead with 4 minutes left on the road at Oklahoma. And think if most people rationally were fairly level-headed after that loss, but if not, now you should be with what Iowa State just did in Hilton. And a big opportunity to get to, you know, 2-1 on Saturday against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's just what the Big 12 is. I would have loved to have won that game against Oklahoma. I thought Iowa State played well in stretches, but
they played well enough to win it. But those 4 minutes really got away from him, man. Really did.
That's going to happen a lot. I think we're going to see a lot of games like that where we're competitive on the road, and then in the last 4 minutes we might. That's where, if you're going to point to anything, it's like, okay, well, how do you drop offense and how do you create good opportunities late in games? Maybe we learned a little bit something about ourselves and how we can do that tonight. But the Big 12 is going to be an absolute war the whole way. You're kind of looking at Oklahoma State on Saturday. So like, I'm going to slap a must win label on that one. Got to protect the home court against Oklahoma State. They look like
they're good with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people were looking at a potential 0-2 start to conference play. Houston, they're the real deal. At Oklahoma, tough game. Getting out of that, splitting it, pretty big deal. Beat Oklahoma State on Saturday, get to 2-1 in conference play. Then we really settle in. The Big 12, like I'm watching just an absolute dogfight between Baylor and BYU. Texas and Cincinnati was an incredible game earlier tonight for anybody who didn't watch it. Texas got bailed out on a travel that was uncalled and hit a game winner in the closing seconds. This league, man, it is something else. There are, I'd say 10, 11 of the 14 teams that could beat you at any point on your floor. Going on the road and winning is going to be almost impossible in this league. I don't know if I've ever seen it this tough.
I agree. This is kind of obscene. You know, BYU and Oklahoma certainly weren't supposed to be this good. Cincinnati's better than people thought, right? Pushing Texas to the brink and maybe, you know, should have won that game. Anyway, it's an absolute meat grinder. If they get to 500, Keeney, they're in the tournament. There's no question.
Yeah, absolutely. But like you kind of talked about at the top, we needed a signature win. We needed to prove that we could beat a good team. Now I know we can beat a good team in a game where they played their style.
It's the best one on their schedule, no doubt.
Yeah, gonna be hard pressed to win a bigger game than that. But we are in the Big 12, so I guess we're gonna have an opportunity to learn. I think we actually do play Houston on the road later in the season. But yeah, a lot of doubts that I might have had about this team answered. Houston, I mean, they really played their game. They kept it ugly. They offensive rebounded, and we did just enough to win. So, all around, you know, thumbs up.
Couldn't agree more. And Hilton was fun. The weather definitely impacted folks. The roads were awful across 80% of Iowa today. It was still loud in there, Keeney, and I hope that came through on TV.
It really did. I mean, it looked like one of those crowds. I was curious, and I wanted to ask you about this because obviously students not there, still on break until next week. But how was how full was Hilton? And did, because it sounded really loud on TV. Was it like translating in the arena as well?
Yeah, no, it was. Honestly, when it kind of got bleak and there were timeouts, and I was like, you know, the band's playing the Beer Barrel Polka, and they, you know, Houston's tied it up. The crowd is going to get taken out of this game. They started doing Let's Go State, and people kind of drug them back into it without the students and with the alumni band there, right? Not the normal band who just never seems to tire and has boundless energy. So I guess call me impressed that the crowd, for being 65, 70%, was able to generate that much noise.
Yeah. Shout out to the olds. I had a lot of FOMO. I saw a lot of people trying to give tickets away, and I, you know, really, really wanted to try and reach out to somebody and be like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to go. Unfortunately, could not make it happen, but Double Juicy Wiggle, did that get everybody fired up?
Yeah, the first one was kind of a surprise, and it was short because it was just a 30-second timeout. But Trey King hitting the three, you got to play the juicy wiggle. No, it was people were super surprised with the second one, which was really fun. That's a big game, Keenan. That's a big game in any season, but for this team, it's massive, right? For their confidence. Again, with that non-conference against Oklahoma, Milan said it on the radio afterwards. He said the game was really fast. He did not feel like he was prepared for what Oklahoma brought. And that's what happens in the Big 12, man. That's why I still really value Curtis Jones. His defense has been great, and he will hit threes. But for not just him, Keyshawn, all these guys moving up, like, it's hard. Pavletsky, he's been awesome this year. I want to see him get 15 minutes tonight. This is a bad matchup for him because all of these Houston guards are 25-year-old grown men, and he's barely 19. So I think the non-conference, especially late, you know, after you kind of went through some good teams, didn't give them a good chance to kind of get a feel for what this would be like for some of these new guys. And they definitely got it against Oklahoma. I was worried Keeney would take a few games, and they weren't as physical as Houston tonight. I don't know that anybody can be. So they were physical enough to win, especially late. They started rebounding better. I agree. They showed they could do it. They showed they're ready for how physical this league is, and hopefully it just takes two games. It still won't surprise me if there's a few Keeney where they get worn down or it's too physical for them down the stretch. But I was concerned that it'd take multiple games to kind of get into the swing of things. And after this win, it feels like they're there.
Yeah, I was wondering if, because Pavelski only played 3 minutes, Demaryius Watson played 8 minutes off the bench. You know, Hassan Ward, Curtis Jones we really played seven guys. And I'm wondering if that is something we're going to see a little bit more regularly going forward. You know, have we kind of settled into a rotation that's a little bit shorter finally, or was this just kind of an aberration? It's part of the problem. We have too many guys that can play.
I think it's just a bad, again, I think it was Watson played because of his length, and he did well. I think Pavelski will play probably closer to 15 a night, Keeney. This was just when all those guards are that big and that physical, just a tough matchup. I mean, he did fine. He didn't hurt the team when he was out there, but you'll see more of them in other games. I feel pretty confident about that.
I'm on KenPom right now. Do you want to guess what Hassan Ward's offensive rating was in this game?
Oh my gosh. Lay it on me.
124.
Jeez. Keeney, he's good.
Yeah.
This is not the player we saw last year. And it was because he was so limited and didn't spend any time with the team really before the season started. But man, he brings something big time.
Yep. Finishing lobs, you know, he kind of does exactly what you ask him to. Even getting a little jumpy on trying to go after those free throws that he's not sure he made. I know you mentioned it. If there was any question about it, he did leave a little early. The ball has to hit the rim before he can get into the lane to try and go after it. So apparently it's his thing, but needed to be a little bit more patient on that one.
But what impressed me the most was he's got soft hands. Like if he catches the ball in the middle of the paint, I feel pretty comfortable with him there, whether it's passing. Also, his length is ridiculous. Like when he dunks, his arms are so long, it's like his feet barely leave the floor. He is crazy long, and he did help Walter some shots. I think Trey's probably a better rebounder in a game like this because he's more physical, but Ward is going to be really key for this team down the stretch. It's nice to have him back.
Yeah. Do we have anything else on this one?
I don't think so. That's all I got.
I did want to touch base real quick on, so the women are 3-0 in Big 12 play now. Big step up in competition coming this week, though. West Virginia, I'm not sure if West Virginia is still in the top 25. Then we play Baylor. Both games at home. Big opportunity. I'd love to see us pick up one of these. If we can win one of these two games, I'm going to start feeling confident that we can make the NCAA tournament. And I did want to shout out, so we might as well rename the Big 12 Freshman of the Week award after Iowa State. Audie Crooks has won it a couple times now. Addie Brown won it last week. I don't know how many times, do you have any plans on going to Hilton this week to check out either of those games? I can never remember if you have women's season tickets or not.
A lot of people in the neighborhood do, so there's almost always tickets available. I think I'm going to try to go tomorrow night. I think it's a good, be my first one of the season. of the conference season. And I think it'd be great. West Virginia, for people to come on out, West Virginia is still 24th. They're a good squad. They beat Kansas by 20, I think, earlier this season. So, and then they've got number 4 Baylor home on Saturday. So if you're coming to Ames for Saturday, do a twin bill, do a little double feature. We can't make the ladies game, but we will be at the Okie State game. So Kenny, Addie Brown is an absolute dog. What is she averaging, a double double or close to it? And she's kind of nasty. She's got a little edge, which I think is awesome. I say nasty in like the best sense, in terms of, you're not going to push me around, I've got fire. I think this team has needed that personally. She's very physical, and I think she does everything well and is only going to continue to grow. Imagine how good she'll be when she's a senior, Kenny, based on what we've seen so far. I think her she's only going to get more and more dominant and be, you know, such an integral part of this team. And you can say the same about Audie. I mean, oh my gosh, her potential is off the charts. And I think she's just going to continue to improve game by game.
We just kind of managed to get better and better as the year's gone on. I got to be honest, I was not feeling very confident about the season at all when we dropped those early games. Maybe the Iowa game, being as competitive as they were, was kind of the turning point. And I mean, you look at them now, Big 12 is a quality league, and they're 3-0 in conference play right now. Good chance to maybe leave this week 4-1, pick up a win against a good team. So, and shout out Bill Finley, 600 wins at Iowa State.
Yes. That huge accomplishment, and what a fun season for him, right? It's got to be satisfying to not just, you know, bring in good recruits, have a lot of promise, and oh, you know, we're gonna have some fun this year. We're gonna develop these kids, and now they're looking like they're gonna try to stick themselves into the NCAA tournament conversation. And I bet he's got to be having a blast. I'm sure the staff is, and as fans, I feel like we've already done a good job of embracing them, but I think we need to continue to show support for them when they're at home, and they're going to be fun to watch all year.
We're kind of hitting that point as a program where the tournament is the expectation almost no matter what. That's how good a coach Finley is, and that's how good the recruiting classes he's been bringing in are. So really cool stuff all around on the basketball end. I did want to touch on real quick, too, the a little bit of football news. We got a transfer offensive lineman from Wisconsin, a running back coming in from Eastern Michigan. Not going to ask you how much you know about I got to look up names. I'm doing a bad job as a podcast host, but running back and offensive line, do you feel like those are positions that needed addressing out of the transfer portal?
I think running back needed depth, so I think that's a good move. The center, I did read into his background, played only a handful of snaps, I think 6 total this year, but played on offense, but played a lot on special teams. Can play center. I think it's just depth, Kenny. You've got a lot of pieces back, but it's depth that clearly is, you know, D1 caliber. He was at, you know, a good Big Ten school. Big Ten school known for offensive linemen, I should say. And I think they probably just brought him in, if nothing else, to add depth. But I would expect him to maybe push someone to start possibly at center.
Got a new kicker as well.
In addition, again, it's depth. An offensive lineman are hard to get in the portal. You know, if you're good, you're going to draw an immense amount, right? As much as a wide receiver or a quarterback. So finding a, you know, someone who's recruited to a D1 caliber school who's got some experience, I think that's a win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you tell me you're from Wisconsin and you play offensive line, I feel good about having you on my team. Also, we got a kicker. Hopefully a kicker that's even half as good as Chase Contreras was.
Yeah, how good was he for us, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know what kind of professional prospects he has. I would imagine how well he performed this year. He's got to have some at this point.
Accurate and with a big leg, right? Made a couple 50-ish yarders.
Oh, yeah.
So, no. Love the kicker transfer. Probably just, again, add depth and probably push Jace Gilbert. We've heard that Gilbert's, you know, practiced pretty well, but Contreras just beat him out. But my guess is, Kenny, if they brought him into transfer, they intend to start him. Between Garrett Owens and Contreras, it seems like when they've done that, that guy usually ends up kicking.
Well, Matt, I feel like before we finish up, I guess, do you have any comment on Michigan winning the national title? Did you watch the game last night?
Only that enjoy it until it's vacated. No, I, for whatever reason, the NCAA is really out to get Harbaugh.
Can I just say, like,
yeah,
if we won a national championship and I don't care, well, I shouldn't go that far. If it came out that we committed a million NCAA violations and it gets vacated like 5 years later, it's not like I'm going to return my shirt or anything that I buy after we win it. I'm not going to, you know, not remember watching the game or anything like that. So by all means, celebrate it. I don't care if it gets vacated or not. It's a national championship. Good for you. And Jim Harbaugh, it's time to come on home, actually. You've done your job in college, so let's get you back to Chicago.
Oh, back to Chicago. I thought you were going to say back to the great state of Iowa to coach the Cyclones someday, since his dad was an assistant here in the state. But no, I think Bears fans would be pretty happy to have him back.
Dude, I remember, I think this might have been like a Chris Williams and Chris Hassel thing, talking about the coaching search, the famous coaching search of 2007 with Gene Chizik, Jim Harbaugh, Brian Kelly, and one other guy that we interviewed.
Right.
And we ended up going with Chizik. And my favorite thing was, like, all these other super successful coaches we didn't hire, Gene Chizik was the only one that won a national championship. Now I have to retire that because Harbaugh has one. But unreal sliding doors moment for the Iowa State program.
Well, and that was a fun stat for a while. You name off all these successful guys, and you're like, well, who's the guy with the title? It's Harbaugh. Or
it's Chizik. It's the guy that we hired. That's obviously correct. Didn't win it here, but he won it. And but now Harbaugh ruined that for me.
The Chiz idiot. Wow, fun stuff. Put that stat to bed. Okay. Any more juice to squeeze? I think that's it.
All right. Well, this is our debut on the 1012 Podcast Network, by the way. So we should shout out those guys. And
we definitely need to.
Yeah, we're in the network now. Go follow them. Join our Discord. Got a lot of fun in there. Big 12 fans of all kinds, welcome. Even Houston fans, I do want to talk to you about how your team fouls all the time and how your coach got fired for something that at Indiana that was actually illegal when he got fired, but is legal now. I always think that's fun. Kelvin Sampson's a hell of a coach.
Ton of respect for him and just respect for that program. And I think all these other Big 12 schools are saying, oh, I knew you wouldn't be able to compete in this league. Just you wait until you play them. Yeah, I don't especially think you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's going to be something. Good stuff. Iowa State, signature win, a lot of fun. Matt, thank you for joining me. We'll wrap it up right here.